Trapari Jana. What's the next line? What is it? Ah, a dhana jovana, getting some money, youth, which is, that's flickering. A dhana, so is dhana, another name for dhana is Lakshmi Chanchala. She doesn't stay very long with anyone. A dhana jovana putra, to have sons, is a kind of happiness in this material world. Parijana, all relatives, society. So this is considered happiness. But iteke ache paratiti rai. We can't put our trust in these. We shouldn't put our trust in these. Because they are like the water on drop of water on a lotus leaf, which can fall down at any time. Kamala dala jala. Kamala dala jala, what's the next word? Yeah, jivana talamala. Yeah, life is flickering. Now I'm forgetting. Bhaja, yeah, therefore we should worship the lotus feet of Krishna. And how is that worship done? Shravana, kirtana, smarana, bandana, pada, shevana, dashare, pujana, sakijana, atmanivedana, Govinda das obilashare. The Govinda das, who's the writer of this song, expresses his desire to engage in these nine forms of worship. So in one short and simple song, we have the summary of what life is like in the material world, why we should get out of it and go to Krishna. So sambandha and abhidheya, what is our relationship with Krishna? Our relationship is not with our putra parijana, but with Krishna, and how we can go to Krishna. So that's a major part of the philosophy all summed up. After this, I for those who are going to do the projection, I'd like to speak on Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 28. So you could have that ready, please. So now we'll read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 28, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Put that up on the screen. Okay, very good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatvavittu Mahabaho. Gunakarma Vibhagayoho. Gunaguneshu Vartanta. Iti matvana sajjate. Tatvavittu mahabaho. Guna karma vibhagayoho. Guna guneshu vartanta. Iti matvana sajjate. Tatvavittu mahabaho. Guna karma vibhagayoho. Guna guneshu vartanta. Iti matvana sajjate. Translation of the verse. One who is in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, O mighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work in devotion and work for fruitive results.
Purport. The knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. He knows that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and that his position should not be in the material creation. He knows his real identity as part and parcel of the Supreme, who is eternal bliss and knowledge, and he realizes that somehow or other he is entrapped in the material conception of life. In his pure state of existence, he is meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He therefore engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and becomes naturally unattached to the activities of the material senses, which are all circumstantial and temporary. He knows that his material condition of life is under the supreme control of the Lord. Consequently, he is not disturbed by all kinds of material reactions, which he considers to be the mercy of the Lord. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one who knows the absolute truth in three different features, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Tattvavit, for he knows also his own factual position in relationship with the Supreme. Tattvavit tu mahabaho guna karma vibhaga yoho guna guneshu vartanta iti matvana sajjate. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work in devotion and work for fruitive results. In this verse, in the translation, Srila Prabhupada translates the term tattvavit as one who is in knowledge of the absolute truth. The word tattva is not really very directly translatable into English at all. Tat means that. Just like I quoted that verse this morning. Sarvopadhivinirmuktam tat paratvena. Tat, that which is, tat para, that which is supreme, that which has tat paratvena, that which has the quality of being the supreme, which is Krishna. It's a very common word, as in English the word that is very common. And tattva means that which has the quality of being that. And it's often used, especially in philosophical works, in Sanskrit, because we as Vaishnavas or aspiring Vaishnavas, our exposure to Sanskrit is almost all philosophical and religious books. But as in other languages, there are Sanskrit works on all kinds of things. Poetry, art, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, health, all this kind of thing. So, in philosophical writings or discussions, tattva, unless otherwise qualified, as for instance, it can be Vaishnava tattva, Rasa tattva, Vishnu tattva, Jiva tattva, tattva gyan, but tattva, if stated without any other word, is understood to mean what we can refer to in English as the truth, the absolute truth. of course, if we were to translate it the other way, if we were to take the word truth in English, and we were asked, what's the word for truth in Sanskrit? We probably wouldn't come up with, our first choice probably wouldn't be tattva, satya. Satya is the well-known word. Satyam eva jayate nan ritam. Rita is another word for truth. Sarvam etad ritam manye yanmang vadasi keshava. I accept as truth, Arjuna said to Krishna, everything that you said to me. So they're more or less synonyms, rita and satya, truth. The word tattva comes up considerably more. Oh, satyam eva jayate, I should translate. Satyam eva jayate means truth. In English, we could say, translate it into the English saying, truth will prevail. Naan ritam. That's the second line, which is not so well known. Satyam eva jayate became well known as the motto of the Indian Republic. I don't know why, because you know, all kinds of cheating and corruption which are unimaginable in this part of the world. Even more so in Canada, isn't it? But the kind of corruption and cheating that goes on in India is horrible, actually. Anyway, truth will prevail. Not in a democracy. It's not possible. Especially with TVs. Internet voting just becomes it's another extension of the entertainment industry. Who gets voted? The one who puts on the best show. Good looking man is more likely to get the votes, that's for sure. So, what is the truth? This is the question which everyone should ask. Another word for truth, another word that Srila Prabhupada translates in Bhagavad Gita, comes up in Bhagavad Gita often, Brahma, that's a word that Srila Prabhupada often translates as the truth. It means that which is great, but it's generally understood to mean what in English philosophical terms means the truth. So what is the truth? This is the question that everyone should ask, every human being should ask. Atato brahma jignasa. Now therefore, one should inquire about Brahma, the truth. What is reality? Now, what is now? If this clock is right, it's 12:41 on August the 12th, 2016. If this arbitrarily ordained Gregorian calendar. But now, in this context, now Srila Prabhupada, he would say, now that we have attained the human form of life, and other commentators say, now that we have realized that everything in the Vedas, pretty much everything in the Vedas is nonsense. Yes. Krishna also says that. Trigunya vishaya veda nistrigunya bhavarjana. The Vedas mostly deal with the three modes of material nature, be transcendental to them. So that means when you realize that all this idea of marching up to the heavenly planets, doing yajnas and pious activities, coming down again, going up again, gata gatam, coming and going, this is all nonsense. Now one should inquire into ultimate reality. So I'll just read a few of the verses in Bhagavad Gita in which the term truth comes in, this, in the sense of what is the answer to the question, what is the truth? Of course, there may be many people who say, well, there is no ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is that you're born and you die. And that's all there is to it. King puna agamana bhavet. We don't come back again. Just the body is a bunch of chemicals and you die and there's no more meaning than that. But we don't accept that. So we're not going to even discuss that here. That's another whole discussion if anyone wants to get into that. But we prefer to accept what great personalities state. The greatest of all personalities is Krishna. Krishna is the best speaker of the truth. He is himself the truth, as we shall discover, or we shall hear in the few verses that I'll read out now. This word tattva first comes in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 2, 6, 16. From Krishna's use of this word, we can understand that Arjuna, and from the use of this word and Krishna's using words like atma and guna, Arjuna, it wasn't that, although Krishna said to him, you're talking like a fool, he was actually learned. He knew at least conceptually about the terms like tattva, guna, atma, and so on. So this verse, chapter 2, text 16, nasato asat, nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sataha ubhayor api drishtontas tvanayos tatvadarshibihi. Now, in this verse, Krishna uses the terms asat and sat. Sat is similar to the word satya. It can mean the truth, it can mean that which is real, that which exists, that which is good, that which is noble, and so on. But again, the word truth comes, tattva, tattva darshi. Those who are seers of the truth, tattva darshi means seer of the truth. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. So there's the truth, or a truth, or a major factor in understanding the truth. What is that? That the body is temporary, the soul is eternal. This is the basis of all knowledge. Knowledge means to know the truth. If it's not the truth, it's not knowledge. If it's not true. We may say, I know that 2 plus 2 equals 3. But that's not knowledge. So similarly, we may say, I know that the world is coming to an end soon, because it says in the Bible. Well, we'll find out. As long as I can remember, it's always been about 2 or 3 years from now. And it's been like that for about 2,000 years. So we don't put a lot of faith. Of course, it might be true. But no, because the Vedic version doesn't support that. I know that Sai Baba is God. I know in my heart. That's not knowledge. We have to know from what Krishna says. So, Krishna gives the first item of truth that goes against what we would consider to be true if we are not enlightened with Vedic knowledge, that the body is not very important. We are eternal, we are not the body. It doesn't seem to be true. When you're hungry or cold or hot or someone punches you in the face, I hope no one gets punched in the face very much, or at all, then we feel I'm the body. When your knees start to tell you that you're not as young as you used to be, of course, that's true at every moment. But you think, when thinking, I am not as young as I used to be, and then Krishna comes, then we hear Krishna, well, you are not that body anyway. So it's not you, but it feels like me. But Krishna teaches that we are eternal. This is the first item of truth to be known. This is truth, but this is only the first installment. There are many other, or it's the beginning semester, we could say, in understanding the truth. Another vital truth to understand is that this material world is miserable. That's also true. And even to begin to understand or to be interested in understanding that we're not the body, one has to perceive janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam, perceive the miseries, this world is miserable, birth, death, old age and disease. But not just to see that, but anudarshanam, to hear it from authorities. We can hear about that. We can perceive it even without being told about it, but we won't understand how it's miserable, why it's miserable, how we can escape from this misery unless we hear from authorities. But it is true that this world is miserable. And when one perceives that and becomes interested in going beyond this miseries, then atato brahma jignasa. Then instead of trying to enjoy this world or to escape the miseries of this world, one should inquire into the nature of ultimate reality or truth. Tattvadarshi, Krishna mentions in this verse, one who knows the difference between the eternal and the non-eternal. This word, tattvadarshi, also comes in a very well-known verse of Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth. Again, the word tat. The first word here is tat. So here, tat means that knowledge. It's in relation to verses which have come before. That knowledge of different sacrifices. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him and submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So obviously knowledge and truth are very intimately related. There is the truth that is to be known. If you don't know, then you're in ignorance. If we don't know. Just like, who knows? Okay, let's put it around the other way. Who doesn't know what is the capital of Gujarat state in India? Please raise your hand. Okay. Who knows? Can someone say what is any non-Gujaratis? Yeah. Gandhinagar, often mistakenly thought to be Ahmedabad, as said in Gujarati, or Ahmedabad in other languages. So it's Gandhinagar. So now you know. It was true before you knew. Of course, you have to believe us. We might have got, it is theoretically possible, but not very likely, that we all got together before this class, all of us who knew what is the capital of Gujarat and made a little plot to mislead people. It's not very likely. It sounds absurd that anyone would do this, right? But this is actually, going off the topic a little bit, this is the kind of thing that people who say that the world has come into being simply there was big explosion, and then everything settled into place, and then it all settled into place, and then it was bubbling away, and then it cooled down, and then some amoeba came into cells, and they formed into amoeba, and then land came out, and then from the water, the cosmic, what is it, primordial soup, and out of the soup came some fish, and they came into the land, they became lizards, and they became monkeys, and then they became Charles Darwin. And this is the kind of argument they give in a more sophisticated way, absurd, completely absurd. So we could have been bluffing you, but you, if you didn't know, you can safely take it on the authority of all of us who do know, and we say that we know, and there's no real reason to disbelieve us. There's no reason to be skeptical about this, that the capital of Gujarat is Gandhinagar. Okay. So that was true before you knew. Now you know. Once you know, you know. You might forget it, but now you have that knowledge that could be an asset in your life, theoretically. Difficult to think how. Maybe if you're doing some exam in India, these children, they're supposed to know all these kind of things. But as I doubt any of you will be in that situation, it is difficult to know. Maybe you could impress someone by telling them, but they wouldn't be very impressed anyway. Okay, sorry about giving that little snippet of not very useful information, but it does serve a purpose of showing that truth and knowledge are not exactly the same thing, and the truth exists whether we know or not. Now, whether we know or not that Gandhinagar is the capital of Gujarat doesn't really matter that much, if at all, to all of us in this room. But the truth of who are we? What is the purpose of life? Is there God? Who is God? This is very important. And there is the truth. Most people don't know it. If we don't know it, it very seriously affects our whole existence. So we should try to find out. Atato brahma jignasa. We should try to find out what is the truth. And what that truth is summarized in the next verse, after chapter 4, text 34, which I just read. That the tattvadarshis, those who are... Another word for tattvadarshi is jnani, one who knows, one who has knowledge, one who sees the reality. There may be some subtle distinction. One who knows and tattvadarshi, one who sees. So there may be some distinction of knowing theoretically and fully realizing. But more or less they're synonyms. Tattvadarshi and jnani. Or another distinction could be someone knows and someone understands. Just like E equals MC squared, everyone has heard it. Not everyone knows what it means. I don't, because I always forget. It means energy equals mass times something squared. The speed of light squared. Okay, so you know it. And I know it now also, but I always forget it. You know a little bit more, but how many people understand it? Apparently, not very many can understand all the math that goes into that. And even if you do, it becomes difficult to understand the implications of it in terms of space-time warps, and space and time are one continuum, and it doesn't really seem to make sense. Although although to people who understand it, it makes sense, but I'm not sure if it's true at all. Whether space and time really are one continuum, maybe in some way of looking at the world. Anyway, there is a distinction between knowing, understanding, and realizing. Just like Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Many people know that by Prabhupada's mercy. Many people in the world know this today. But not everyone know it. Okay, there are levels of knowing it also. Someone is convinced. Someone knows. Someone knows in this way, just like you'll find the mundane scholars, they may write about devotees, Vaishnava Dharma. The devotees will write, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the mundane scholars will write the same thing, but they'll qualify that statement by saying that according to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they know, and we know, but their knowing is that of an outsider. For them, it's a fact. Just like Gandhinagar is the capital of Gujarat. It's something, no, even less so, because they're more convinced that Gandhinagar is the capital of Gujarat than they are that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them, it's Supreme Personality of Godhead is just a concept in the mind. It doesn't have any... For them, Gujarat is more real than Krishna. That's why they're called mundane scholars. They may be very knowledgeable. They may have a lot of knowledge. They might even understand how the Gaudiyas come to that conclusion. Because others may say, well, Jesus is God, or Allah is God, or Shiva is God, or Sai Baba is God, or Krishna is God, okay, but he's a manifestation of Vishnu. And the mundane scholars may be able to explain, they may study the philosophy even more deeply than the devotees do. And by the intelligence that material nature has awarded to them, they may be able to understand it even better than the devotees. They might even be able to explain it better in a more systematic way. Maybe there is that possibility. But they'll never realize it because they don't have devotion, they don't have faith. For them, it remains a theory. So they can never realize that. They can be, in one sense, a jnani. They've got knowledge. But they'll never be a tattvadarshi. They'll never see that truth. They don't even want to. Even if they were offered, and even if they did, they'd think that it's some kind of apparition or something that can be explained mundane terms. There must have been something going on in my cortex or something. Someone slipped something into my limbic that gave me some vision, something like this. So Krishna, he talks of knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. He speaks about the truth. He speaks about knowledge. But what is that knowledge? Shraddha va labhate jnanam. Those who are faithful can attain knowledge. Now that's completely different to the idea of knowledge in the mundane sense. They think, well, no, knowledge is something completely different to faith. Although faith, they couldn't learn anything unless they had faith. You can't, to know anything, you have to have some belief in some things. For instance, if we say that energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, well, you have to have faith that there's such a thing as energy. You may say, well, that's a silly thing. Of course there's energy. No one's doubts that there is energy. But there are people who think that, well, there is nothing at all. There is no energy, there's no non-energy, there's no light, there's no heat, there's no darkness. There is nothing. And there isn't nothing, because you can't, if you say there is nothing, then there's something. There's something which is the opposite of nothing. But it's absurd, but there are people, actually there are many people, they're called Buddhists, who maintain such strange ideas. That it seems strange isn't in and of itself a disqualification, because this world is strange, but the answer is not to come up with another strangeness. So, what is the tattva that the tattva-darshis see? What is the tattva, what is the truth that is seen by the knowers of the truth? They're tattva-vit, they know the truth, and tattva-darshi, they see the truth. So what is it that is to be known? Atato brahma jignasa. One should inquire into the nature of reality. So what is there to be known? What is it? What's it all about? Veda means vidya. What is to be known? There's so many things we can know. We can know 2 plus 2 equals 4. That's valid knowledge. Of course, we could get into a whole philosophical discussion about that too. What is 2? Did anyone ever see, touch, smell, feel, taste 2? What is 2? It's a concept. What are numbers? You see, you can have philosophy about anything. Most people are not interested, because they're more interested in the realities of life. What is there to be known? What is it all about? Krishna summarizes that in the next verse. Yajgyatva na punar moham evang yasasi pandava yena bhutanya sheshani drakshas atmanya tomai. When you get that knowledge, Krishna says, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. So knowledge is distinguished from illusion. They're opposites. One can be an illusion. 2 plus 2 equals 3. Theoretically, someone could be convinced that 2 plus 2 equals 3. And then we get into another whole area of philosophy of language. If the concept 4, someone defines it with the sound 3, and you know, philosophers can, you know, they can make a doubt about anything, and they have some validity in doing so, but it really just goes round and round in circles, up, down, in, out, and gets you nowhere. So Krishna here in Bhagavad Gita speaks essential knowledge. He doesn't get off into all kinds of useless abstrusities. So when you get this knowledge, you will never again fall into such illusion, for by this knowledge you will see knowledge. Okay, knowledge, you know. Then you will see drakshasi. You will see. It's not just some theoretical idea, but you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. So this knowledge that is to be had from the tattva-darshis is to, as Krishna describes elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, mamai vangsho jiva-loke jiva-bhuta-sanatanaha manashashtanindriyani prakriti-sthani karshati. All the living beings are my parts, Krishna says, eternally. But, well, it doesn't look like that, doesn't seem like that. And therefore we have to get knowledge. It doesn't seem like that, because it seems like we're part of this world, but we are struggling in this world with the six senses, beginning with the mind. So this knowledge we have to get. Now, we may say, okay, well, all right, that's it, that's the knowledge, that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. That's it. Okay, I got the knowledge. But Krishna says you go to a tattvadarshi to learn this. It's not just, okay, I got my Bhakti Shastri course, I filled everything in, I got 95%. Okay, now I know everything. I'm an expert. But Krishna says go to a tattvadarshi to learn this. It's not just a matter of passing a Bhakti Shastra exam. I'm not saying that passing a Bhakti Shastra exam is anything wrong in that. That's good. That should be done. But that is not in and of itself the means to gain spiritual knowledge. The Tattvadarshi not only knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only knows that we are all part and parcel of Him, but what it means to be the eternal servant of Krishna, he lives that. And he imparts that understanding to his disciples. In this verse, the Tadvidhi Parinipati, Upadekshanti, means they will, this can be understood to mean they initiate also, initiate you into this knowledge. So why do you need to be initiated to get knowledge? That means there is commitment to study, to understand, and not just the knowledge, but how to live that, practical also, which means one has to become free from false egoism, the false egoism of thinking that I am the body, I am the mind, I am not subordinate to Krishna. To be free from this egoism, one has to be trained. Training is required. It's not just a matter of getting the knowledge. It's a matter of imbibing the spirit of devotional service and becoming free from the unwanted way of thinking. Yesterday I spoke about that a little bit. The artha pravritti, to enter into a real meaningful life, we also have to become anartha nivritti, retired from those things which impede our spiritual progress. This term truth, Srila Prabhupada also uses. Yeah. Of course, the whole Bhagavad Gita is teaching the truth. What is actual truth? In chapter 13, where are we going? I'm in the wrong chapter. Yes, in chapter 13, text 12. In verses 8 to 12, Krishna speaks of the factors of knowledge. What is knowledge? In verse 12 in particular, he says, Adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattva jnana artha darshanam etaj jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yadatonyata. He speaks of the eternality of knowledge in relation to the Atma. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam. He speaks of tattva jnana artha. So these are all words we've discussed. Tattva, thatness, the truth, knowledge, tattva jnana, knowledge of the truth. Artha, what is the meaning of that? What is the meaning of that knowledge? Darshanam, and to see that. So all these considerations comes in that term. Tattva jnana artha darshanam. Knowledge of the truth, the meaning of that knowledge. Theoretically, a parrot could be taught knowledge. A parrot can be trained to say 2 plus 2 equals 4. But he has no understanding of what that means. And maybe a chimpanzee could be taught. I don't know, but maybe some basic arithmetic. Maybe it's possible. I don't know. But you probably don't know either. But theoretically, it might be possible. But what is the meaning? What does it mean when we say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Does anyone understand? Yes, to some extent. We can't fully understand. But we can understand to this extent that Krishna has given in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhava matah sarvang pravartate. Iti matva, knowing, Krishna says, knowing that I'm the source of everything, everything emanates from me. Iti matva bhajante mam, buddha bhava samanvitaha. Enlightened people, knowing that I am the source of everything, everything emanates from me, they worship me with feeling. Knowing this very well. So tattva jnana tad darshanam, this is knowledge, to see this. Okay, I'm going to finish there. 1:15 is my cutoff point. So, Hare Krishna. This is, I plan to go on speaking on this topic. How long for? How many sessions do you think it will take? Forever? We should go on forever discussing such topics. Kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam? What is reality? What is spiritual? Yeah, so I plan to continue speaking on this topic. What is the truth in the next sitting? Hare Krishna.